When it comes to humility, any surprises for you?
Yeah, do you know what? When I started to think about it, and in fact, when I started to ask my friends about the subject, what I found is where we went to was actually talking about not overselling yourself, not blowing your own trumpet. And what I came to realize was that that is actually something called modesty. And modesty is a subset of humility, but humility is something much more.
Hello again. Welcome to an episode of the Her Work podcast. I'm Caroline Spencer. Great to have you with us. Here at the Her Work podcast, our tagline is Reframed by Jesus. We want to have conversations about work and what it means as workers to work well in God's world. This podcast is brought to you by City Bible Forum, where I'm a trainer and mentor. Sitting across from me, my conversation partner for today is Jan. Jan founded her own management consulting business 25 years ago, is recently retired and doing a range of things that she has not always had time for. So welcome, Jan.
Thank you. Great to be here, Caro.
Now, Jan, we're going to have a conversation about humility. What is it about this topic that interests you?
Yeah, good question. Well, I've consulted to lots of organisations in Australia and beyond, met lots of leaders and very senior leaders, and it's always struck me the difference in their styles. Some leaders literally, it feels like they suck the air out of the room. You know, it's all about them. They talk all the time, give little airtime to anybody else, as opposed to other leaders, which are totally different. Mm. So it's actually my observation of the impact that those different styles have on performance. The sucking the air out of the room style doesn't go too well. It never did, but even less so right now in the context of work. And I guess the other thing that's interested me was many years ago, before I founded my own business, in fact, the reason for founding it was I was in a consulting firm, and I was told that to make partner, I needed to shamelessly self-promote. And that just didn't sit well with me. I made decisions based on that feedback because I didn't feel as though I could buy into it.
Interesting. Whereas I think for me, I actually thought, oh, yeah, humility. I know about humility. And it's actually in doing some research and thinking about it a bit more, I realized, oh, actually, I have all these questions that I didn't know I had. And it's been really helpful working towards some answers. So it's made me realize I have a lot more to learn in this area.
We don't talk about it enough.
Yes. Yeah. Now, it strikes me that humility is often a bit misunderstood or misinterpreted. So what are some common misconceptions, do you think, about what humility is?
Yeah, I think the worst thing is that it can be seen as being a doormat. Mm. It most definitely isn't that. But I think in my conversations with women over the last few weeks, that's been a word that's been used, right? Mm. So that's definitely what it's not, but it can be confused with that.
Yes. Yeah, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, you know, timid, hesitant, passive, conflict avoidant, even being indecisive.
Yeah.
And maybe underplaying your strengths and abilities, just things like that,
Which all sounds negative, doesn't it?
It does.
It's all negative. Yeah.
And looks like weakness. On the other side of the spectrum, though, what would you say humility definitely isn't?
The boastful self-promoter. So it's not that. So I'm just thinking now in terms of the workplace in particular, I think, you know, there is a culture where develop your own brand, promote it. And there's nothing wrong in doing that, by the way. But when we're obsessed of our own brand most of the time, and we end up thinking and talking about ourselves most of the time, that is a problem. But our current culture rewards this type of behaviour, it seems. You know, I mean, I've run leadership programmes quite recently, and one of the sessions was all about how do you do that? How do you actually self-promote? What is your brand and so on? I actually went to something at the City Recital Hall a few months ago now. I was invited to go to hear a celebrity potter talk. And I assumed, as somebody new to potting in my retirement, that I'd get better at doing pottery. But no, it was basically 2 hours of him talking about himself, a testimony to himself. And interestingly, at the end, he said, he was quite honest, he said, you know, he said, people say I'm full of myself, but who else am I going to be full of? And I just had a sharp intake of breath. I thought that was a really interesting statement.
Oh, dear. Well, as you've been doing research, Janet, what have you discovered humility actually is?
Yeah, well, I really love what C.S. Lewis had to say about it. He described it as not thinking of ourselves less, but thinking of other people more. Hmm. So that dispels the doormat, I think. So not thinking of ourselves less, but thinking of others more. And more contemporarily, John Dixon, who's an Australian theologian, written a book on the subject called Humilitas. He kind of digs into humility. He has a long definition, but he actually talks about three different components. He said it's about keeping your dignity. So it's not about losing your own self-respect or dignity. Mm-hmm. He says it's a choice that we make and it's a social thing. Actually, it's expressed outwardly. John Piper says, and I think this is really the most challenging statement out of the definitions I've looked at. He said it's the defining mark of someone transformed by the gospel. So there you go. That's a big challenge, isn't
yeah.
it? So it's not just a nice to have. It's a defining mark of somebody who's been transformed by the gospel.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Mm. Yes. It's got me thinking about Jesus's comment in Matthew 11, where he describes himself as gentle and humble in heart.
Mm.
And I've realized that meekness is just another word for gentleness. Mm. So I take it that gentleness/meekness and humility are two of Jesus's defining characteristics.
Yeah.
Because that's what he says about himself.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that the word gentle in the original language, it doesn't mean nice or soft. It's the idea of responding with restraint.
Right.
Particularly when you're in the position of power.
Right.
And so that then got me thinking about Jesus clearing out the temple in Matthew 21. And, you know, did he just set his gentleness aside there for a little bit? And I think, no, he was actually gentle there. He responded with restraint. And that was all about giving a warning to those who were corrupt.
Yeah. Do you know, I've heard about that. That's the same thing. Mm. And I've heard about it described as, it's almost, if you think about a horse's bridle, keeping the bridle on so that the force, the power, you're keeping in check.
Yeah.
And you're managing yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not just all, you know, hanging out there.
Yes.
It's very much controlled and managed.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, that's a really good image, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that just captured my imagination.
Yeah. And I think that's good to be aware of, because it doesn't mean that we don't ever stand up or speak up.
Yes.
You know, a gentle person can do that.
Absolutely.
But they just do it in a way that where they're responding with restraint.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, but that whole word gentleness, I think that is such an attractive characteristic of somebody, isn't it?
Like, yes.
People are drawn to people who are gentle.
Yes.
It's very compelling.
And humility, what does Jesus mean when he says, I'm humble in heart? I was thinking that probably the best way to understand that is to look at Philippians 2. And there's a verse there that says, and being found in appearance as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Jesus, in his humility, was obedient to God and voluntarily died a self-sacrificial death for others. And he did that giving up his power and privilege. And so I take it that humility is kind of a inner posture towards God and others. So obedience to God and valuing the interests of others above our own.
Mm.
So humility is a inner posture towards God and others, and gentleness is one of the ways that humility is expressed in relationships. Mm. So we are to always be humble and always be gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Hmm. Jan, you've seen a lot of leaders over the years. Can you share an example of a humble one? So if I could put it a touch ironically, have you seen any leaders who are brilliant at being humble?
I have. Look, one guy stands out to me, a guy who was CEO of a large organization. He happens to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Christians don't have a monopoly on humility, but this guy absolutely lived it. But the interesting thing about the impact that he had on his whole organization, I had the privilege of running leadership programs, coaching people from top to bottom in the whole organization. I've never said this about any other organization. I have never heard one bad word about the man. I've heard universally people saying what a great leader is, and particularly what they described as him having a genuine interest in them as people. So he's the kind of guy, he must have been blessed with great kind of memory as well, but he would walk around the different industrial plants and he would remember people's names. Not only the names, but the families. If there was something going on, he'd inquire about that. But again, on the flip side of the coin, he was very firm as well and very fair. But people really respected that. But his self-effacement was beautiful. And it led to people giving of the best.
Interesting. So that firmness is, I guess, gentleness.
Action. There's a great example of it. It was. He was very firm. You never left in any doubt that, you know, what the standards he needed, what he was requiring, and how you were going. But it was a respect that he commanded.
And being so interested in other people. And I'm assuming that's not just Christian people that valued that in him, that it was just organization-wide. Interesting.
I have never met that universal kind of view of somebody where I've never heard one criticism. That is very unusual.
So do you think humility is valued in the workplace?
Well, I think it's interesting that more than my observation there, what evidence says around research into characteristics in leaders that lead to high performance, humility correlates with high performance. So in answer to your question, it certainly should be valued. Is it valued? Well, I don't always think so.
If I could confess something here,
please do.
Which isn't actually easy to confess. As you talked about that CEO, I thought, oh, like to be like him. That's actually not the confession, though. I would actually like to be approved like he is, approved of like he is. Like I would want my good deeds to be approved of because I want approval. I don't want disapproval. And then that gets me thinking about Jesus's warning in Matthew 6 about being careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men. And besides, I could be like that CEO and I could be in a context where people might not understand my motives or actions, and they might think I'm foolish, think I'm weak, because the cross of Jesus is a weak message to the world. I think that's 1 Corinthians 1. So I do need to aspire to be humble and gentle because that's what Jesus wants, and to not be deterred if it doesn't win me the approval of others. But then I'd also want to remember that it might not all be negative, and sometimes my humility and gentleness might actually be the aroma of life someone.
Absolutely. Oh, that's a really great point.
Well, let's get practical now. What are your tips when it comes to say performance review time and there's pressure to self-promote?
Okay. So I'll draw on my own experience, but also the experience and the research of somebody called Brad Owens. So in a secular context, i.e. work, he's researched some good ideas around how to develop humility and what humility looks like. So top tips. Well, on the receiving end of feedback, I think before a performance review, actually preparing carefully and objectively, what are my strengths? Like, what are they objectively? What are my weaknesses? And to offer both of those, strengths and weaknesses, being open to feedback. Being open to feedback. That's a big one, I say. Humility. We might think we are, but are we really? Like, when somebody gives us some feedback we maybe don't like or don't agree with, do we inside shut down, or do we actually ask questions to find out more Like, give me some examples of that, you know? So somebody who's humble would be open to other people's views and respect those views and obviously inquire, but in an open way. And I think the other thing is about being willing to make changes. So adaptability. Brad Owen talks about humble people adapting to feedback, to changes in circumstances, which may not be in their own interest. So that's if you're on the receiving end. If you're leading a performance review, I think the tips would be around avoiding superiority, i.e. your own superiority. Really recognising other people's work, giving them sincere credit. People can tell the difference, hey, between, you know, just trite kind of well done and actually sincere credit. So somebody who's humble actually shines a spotlight on the good stuff that's being done and praises in a sincere and genuine way. And there's nothing more powerful than to be on the receiving end of that. It's just such a delight and a motivator. But a humble leader who is giving feedback would also give corrective feedback. They wouldn't shy away from that, but they'd give that, we were talking about before, gently.
Yes.
They'd offer it gently, but they wouldn't shy from it.
Well, what about if you're in a context where you keep getting asked to take on more and more work and you're starting to feel a little taken advantage of?
Oh, yeah, that one.
So what are your top tips there?
First of all, I think that's very common nowadays, increasingly, you know, work's tough, isn't it? I think maybe what Brad Owen and what I would agree with on this is it's about self-awareness. Know your limits, right? So if you're being asked to take on more and more, it's going to be some point which is totally unrealistic that you're not going to be able to do the job, right, at some point. So honestly knowing your limits, so not just kind of drawing a low limit because you feel a little bit pressured, but actually if genuinely this is more than is fair, more than you can deliver, then actually maybe it's about saying to your leader, I'm not going to be able to do this, and this is the reasons why, or I need help. That's a very humble statement. And then being coachable about exploring solutions to that situation, like who's going to do the work or what doesn't need to be done.
So Jan, what if your corporate culture is one that doesn't encourage accountability for mistakes?
Right, okay. So what does that mean? That means that somebody, me, let's say, end up kind of being blamed for everything. Is that the consequence of that, do you think?
Or, it could be. Or if you make a mistake, then don't own up to it because that's just seen as weak.
Okay, right. Okay, I see. Okay. Well, I think the lines we've been talking about and the definitions we've explored, we'd be saying, yeah, we should own up to mistakes, but do that carefully. And what I mean by that is apologise specifically. So, you know, you're not apologising for everything that's gone wrong in the whole process, but you're saying, hey, I'm really sorry for this error. I'm going to be more careful next time round. But if there's other people that have contributed to the problem, I think I'd be saying something like, just to be clear, I've had no impact on the remaining errors that you've outlined in this conversation, but what I was responsible for was this, and I'm really sorry. So you're just being really clear and letting your leader or whoever figure out, well, what are the other problems that actually contributed to the error?
Yeah, so you're kind of going, well, my culture might encourage certain behaviours, but I'm actually going to be humble and acknowledge my mistakes. And countercultural.
Yeah, in a good way.
I thought a good place for us to finish would be around how do we grow in humility. So, Jan, do you have any ideas there?
Right, okay. Well, people who are humble, this is based on research of humility, not just what I think, is that they actually see themselves as a part of a larger system. So the starting point is to actually realise that as Christians we have a sovereign God who made us, who loves us, who wants the best for us. And I just, on that, I just need to tell you this story because it just warmed my heart. Very recently, as most people will know, Artemis II came back from the far side of the moon after seeing the Earth eclipsing behind the moon. Like, you know, amazing in the debrief to the press and to the scientists. Victor, he actually said, I mean, they were overcome with emotion because, hey, who wouldn't be in that situation? But what he said was, I have no words. He said, I just want to thank God. He said, I thanked him on the 3rd of April when we went up. He said, I want to thank him now for what we've seen. He said, it was incredible. And then the commander, Reed Wiseman, got up and he said, look, I'm not a religious person. He said, but can I tell you what we saw out there? I haven't got words for. I said, I haven't processed it yet. It'll take me a long time. But he said, what I know is we were all sent to a hospital, a Navy hospital, to be debriefed and so on. And he was in the hospital bed. And he said, I asked, because of this kind of overwhelming experience that I'd had, he said, I asked to see a chaplain. And the Navy chaplain came in, and the Navy chaplain had a cross on his shirt. And Reed Wiseman said, when I saw that cross, I just broke down.
Yes, which, as you shared that, just reminded me of Job and his experience of the kind of awesome power of God.
Yeah.
I was also thinking too how another humbling experience is seeing the extravagance of God's mercy in the face of our sinfulness. So thinking about the tax collector in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18.
Yeah.
And then I was also thinking about how our difficult circumstances can grow humility. So God grew the humility of the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness, like we're told that in Deuteronomy 8. And I can also see how difficult circumstances are an opportunity for us to express humility by humbling ourselves before God, who is in control. And that's what 1 Peter 5 encourages us to do, you know, humble yourself. And then the very next verse
is
cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
And, you know, I had not realized until a week ago that actually casting our anxiety on God is actually an act of humility. Somebody pointed it out to me and I thought, wow, that is actually part of humility.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of some examples of humility before God, but I was also thinking about it in terms of humility before others. And I was thinking that it's hard to be humble when you're all about comparing yourself to others. And that gets me thinking about Romans 12, where it says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So the idea that I'll have a less inflated view of myself if I'm aware that all the abilities and opportunities I have, God-given. All the abilities and opportunities other people have, God-given. If they're all gifts, you can't compare.
Yeah.
You know, you just serve with what God's given you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that links back for me to that whole self-awareness thing. So actually being objective and spending some time thinking about what are my gifts and how can I serve?
Yes.
Yeah? Is it hospitality? Is it generosity? What does it look like? Is all part of growing ourselves in humility.
Yeah.
So that, I guess, would be another
That's tip, that's the sober judgment.
It is,
you're having a realistic self-assessment.
Yeah, the self-awareness piece.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying here is that there are lots of pathways to grow our humility, that God in his kindness has arranged it like that. And I think that goes to show how much he values humility in us. So Isaiah 66, and I've got the words here. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word.
Well, that says it all.
Yeah. So there's so much more we could say, but we will need to wrap it up here. It's been an absolute pleasure talking about humility with you. And I don't think either of us now are brilliant at humility, would that be fair to say? Not brilliant at it yet.
No.
And it was a bit of an ironic title to this episode. But I think there's also something in not taking yourself too seriously, that also helps grow our humility now that I think about it. Listeners, just so you know, Jan will be joining me for another conversation in the future. I have a variety of conversation partners on the Her Work podcast. Each conversation partner brings their own workplace-related challenges for us to explore. The episodes drop twice a month and you can find them on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, please feel free to email me at caroline.spencer@citybibleforum.org. On the City Bible Forum landing page, you'll find the Bible references. You'll also find some reflection questions. These have been designed so that you and a friend can listen to the podcast and use the questions as a springboard for a discussion around your own particular challenges. Until next time.